What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. You are listening to Keeping It Raw, and I am Raw. Welcome to the show. So today we're going to be talking about some jokes I wrote. Yes, late night style comedy jokes. And we're also going to be talking about how you can do this based on how I learned to do this. And then I also want to talk about this Ashton Kutcher thing, which is different, but I want to talk about it anyway. And so starting with the late night comedy jokes, let's just jump into it, Philly D style. Did you guys hear about this Virginia Tech thing? Virginia Tech is offering to pay students to take a gap year. They are over-enrolled, and they're offering to pay students to take a gap year. Yeah, imagine looking at somebody's resume and saying, what did you do during this time? I didn't go to school. But why would you put that on your resume? Because I got paid for it, so it's experience. I mean, really? You have people now quitting their jobs to not go to school. Good job, Virginia Tech. It's like, hey, mom, forget about Harvard and Yale. Do we still have that acceptance letter from Virginia Tech? Because I need a break. Yeah. Did you hear about this one? Family Dollars is going to start selling alcohol. Yeah, Family Dollar going to start selling it. Now I guess everybody in the family can now find something at Family Dollar. I can't think of anything more depressing than spending the Family Dollar at Family Dollar to buy alcohol. How do you come back from that one? Cool story here. A 94-year-old World War II veteran decided to become a barista. Yeah, so his daughter and his son-in-law own a coffee shop, and he's just a worker, so he decided to do it. World War II vet. I think it's a horrible idea, but that's great. It's like, hey, Grandpa, tell us a war story. Well, sonny, this hipster came into the coffee shop and complained about the foam in his vanilla bean frappuccino. Kudos to you, though. I mean, that's pretty good. R. Kelly got is facing now 11 new counts. 11 new counts, all each about 30 years in prison for each count. So for each count, he's spending more years in prison than his prey. Oh, I think that one was a little too much on that one. He's going to be in prison longer for each count than his prey was at the time of the allegation. A little too dark there. Oh, this is pretty cool. Sandy Hook Promise. Okay, so there's this new smartphone app in North Carolina that they're releasing where anybody in North Carolina at school, a teacher or student, is able to report suspicious activity anonymously. I just can't imagine it being a good idea for the kids, though. I mean, it's great. Hey, the problem is that it gives another reason for a kid to have their cell phone and be on their phone during school. It's like a teacher's yelling, hey, Billy, are you on Snapchat again? No, I'm definitely not on Snapchat. No, I'm definitely not doing the baby feature face thing. Definitely not. I'm reporting a suspicious activity. It's anonymous. So my understanding is you can no longer ask me these questions. It's like another reason to be on the phone during school. This guy, he died near the White House. He set himself on fire near the White House, and he died from his injuries. It's messed up stuff. I guess he was protesting. I'm not sure, but I guess this is further proof that this administration is pretty lit. I know. I shouldn't have done that political one. I get it. I came across this video there talking about, it's by Slate on YouTube, and they talked about how you can write like a late night comedian. And what I learned basically, just to sum it up in a simple sentence, is that topical jokes come down to word association. So to expound on that, when you think of topical jokes, news-related jokes, no jokes based on what's going on in the news, current events, that kind of thing, they're done by word association. So when you think of a word, in this instance, they gave a they gave an example, and it was Jimmy Fallon. He was talking about the Disney's Hall of Presidents. And if you've ever been at Disney, this Hall of Presidents is basically all the presidents as robots, well, robot, animatronic, whatever you want to call it, versions of the presidents, and they nod, they talk, they wave, you know, they make gestures and things like that. It's pretty cool. If you've never seen it, if you go to Disney, check it out. So what happened was, I guess somewhat of his setup and punchline goes like this. Disney released their new Donald Trump animatronic for the Hall of Presidents. Yeah, now that Trump's at Disney, he's trying to deport Aladdin. Okay, so that's the setup and punchline. And the way they did it was they looked at this. They got a headline, a simple headline, like the ones I read to you in those jokes, and they word associated them. So they took Disney and came up with characters and things like that associated with Disney. Then they looked at Donald Trump and characterized, you know, made a word association list for Donald Trump and paired immigration for Donald Trump, and they paired Aladdin for Disney, and they put them together and made a joke and punchline out of it. I thought that was brilliant. And so that's how a lot of them do that. So you pick just about any topic and you can make a joke out of it, you know, and they're not always going to be funny. And late night comedians' jokes don't always land, just like my jokes that I told you a minute ago aren't always going to land. But I think it's a pretty interesting concept. And I did those within 5 minutes. Okay. And it might sound like that when I was telling the jokes, you probably didn't laugh. And now that I'm explaining this process, you probably don't think this process is interesting or funny anymore, but I was just wanting to share what I had learned. And I think it's a pretty interesting concept that anybody, once you understand that it's basically a word association game, whether you want to do puns, you know, whether you want to do the setup and punchline like I did, you know, it's really interesting coming up with that. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that. The other thing I wanted to get into, and I guess this is going to be a short podcast. We'll see if we get to 15 minutes. I'm not sure if we're going to get there. But had to do with this Ashton Kutcher thing. So if you don't know, Ashton Kutcher is in the news right now. And I'm going to say his name all kind of different ways because I realized listening back that I say weird ways. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm trying to say. So Ashton Kutcher, he was a star witness Wednesday morning in the murder trial of Michael Gargiulo, and who's accused of killing his friend Ashley and two other women. So Kutcher appeared in a downtown Los Angeles courtroom to testify about the last time he spoke to Ashley, who ended up killed the night they were supposed to have their first date. Okay, this is going to be a crazy story. What I'm sharing with you is going to be silly. I might interject and add my two cents in because my opinion is that he wasn't really trying to date her. My opinion is that he was just trying to hook up. Okay. So you're going to understand why, and I'm going to kind of explain it as we go along. So let's see. He testified for about 40 minutes, and they were basically trying to establish a timeline for Ashley's murder, okay? So Kutcher said he and Ashley were friends. They met about 2 months before her death at a friend's birthday party. He introduced her to one of his friends, and they started dating. Kutcher had a girlfriend at the time, so that's why he, you know, initially wasn't trying to date her. He went to her house one time before the day that she was killed, where she had a housewarming party. And he said Ashley told him during that party that she was single, but he at that time still had a girlfriend. So Kutcher told the jury that he spoke to Ashley on February 21st, 2001. So this is back in the day, 2001. Talked to her on the phone about 3 or 4 o'clock. He had just finished doing a show run through. So at that time, of course, he was still on That 70s Show. They had just done a show run through. So during the call, they had made plans to go out and get a drink that night, and he called back later that evening. So originally, they talked this day at 3 or 4 o'clock. Couldn't exactly remember the timeline. Then at a couple hours later, about 3.5 hours later at 7:30, he called her back to tell her that he was running late, but he got her answer machine. So, okay. Made a plan at 3 o'clock. Called her back at 7:30 to tell her he was running late. Okay. At 8:24, an hour later, Kutcher said he called Ashley one more time and told her he was running late due to watching the Grammys at a friend's house. This is how I know this wasn't supposed to be a first date. This was just a hookup. Because this guy made plans at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to meet her that night. But at 7:30, he was running late. An hour later, he called her that to say that he was still running late. But it's like he totally neglected any plans because he went to a friend's house to watch the Grammys. Like, who does that when you're trying to get on a first date? Oh my goodness. This is going to sound more sketchy on Ashton's part. So sketchy. All of this more and more sketchier. Okay. So he remembered that Ashley said she had just got out of the shower and was blow drying her hair. This was the last time the two actually spoke. Okay. So at 8:24 is when he called her back to say he was running late, that he was watching the Grammys at a friend's house. She had just got out of the shower, so, you know, no big deal to her. It's weird because at 7:30, an hour earlier, he called her to tell her he was running late, but she didn't even get out of the shower until 8:30, an hour later. So it's not like, so I guess they didn't have, like, plans immediately. It wasn't like an early date thing, you know. Anyway, so he testified he knows the exact time he called her because he looked over the police report that he gave that day of the murder. And he remembers having a Nextel phone back in the day and telling detectives about the time he had called. And he remembered all this stuff because of the conversations he had before. So Kutcher said he tried to call Ashley again later that night, but she never answered. So he said that he lost track of time. He left his friend's house at 10 o'clock. So he called her at 8:30. An hour and a half later is when he actually left his. So he called her at 8:30, said, "Hey, I'm running late. I'm at a friend's house watching the Grammys." An hour and a half later, how are you going to tell somebody you're running late, but then you don't even leave that person's house until an hour and a half later? At 10 o'clock, he called her to let her know he was on the way. So at 10 o'clock, he's on the way, and he says that from his friend's house to her house was only 15 minutes. So he called her again while he was driving, but she didn't answer. So he decides that he's going to go to his house, let his dogs out, and then called her again. She didn't answer. So 45 minutes later, he left his house. His house is about 5 to 6 blocks away. Not that far. But this guy, this is not a very important date, if this is a date at all. I'm telling you, just buckle up. Okay. So, he had tried to call her several times again, but she never answered. 10:45 at night, she's not picking up the phone. He hasn't talked to her since 8:30. Now he's calling at 10:45. She is not answering. What are you thinking? If you're trying to get a hold of somebody that much, and they ain't answering, what's this tell you guys? What are your thoughts? Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm sorry. All right, so Kutcher said that he pulled up to his car to Ashley's driveway and went up the stairs to her front door. The gate was open. He said the lights were on in the house, so he assumed that she was home. He knocked on the door, no answer. He knocked again, no answer. He testified he then looked through the window of the front door and didn't see anything. He said he assumed she was upset with him and bailed because he was late. So, you called this girl. How many times did he call her? It just says several times. I'm going to assume that means 3. Plus, you called her at 8:24 when you couldn't get up with her. You called her at 10 o'clock. You couldn't get up with her. 10:45. That's six times. Okay. And if somebody admits to calling them that many times, then you can add another one or two more to that. And he called her and she didn't answer. Still shows up to her house and she's not answering. So if you're trying to get up with somebody this much and they ain't answering, they don't want to talk to you. Okay? Your priority has just been lowered. Your importance has just been lowered. So it's silly. So he does all this, still goes to her house like a weirdo. What? Why would you keep driving? There's only three possibilities that is going on. She either don't want to talk to you because she's upset. She is asleep. Or she is already out with somebody else. Those are the three. Of course, there was a fourth, which he didn't know at that time, hopefully. I don't know. I'm just saying. We're going to find out some more information. Here we go. And that was that she was dead, unfortunately. So, all right. So, he can't see nothing. Thought she bailed because he was late. He was late. You're supposed to be there around 7:30 because that's when you originally called and said you were running late. 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30. At least 3 hours later. Worst first date ever. Oh, I should not have said that. I did not. I said that and it's a joke, but I shouldn't have said that because it's not funny. It was a little funny, but it's not appropriate. Okay. So, facetious. All right. So, Kutcher then told the jury he tried to open the door, but it was locked. Then he started to leave and looked through the window to the left of the front door. He thought it was odd. The lights were on and she left and it looked like the place was a mess, but he knew she had recently moved in, so he didn't think it was odd. I'm trying to process this like a normal human being. You think she's upset with you for being over 3 hours late. She ain't calling you. She's not answering the phone. She's not answering the door. The lights are on and you think nobody's home. And you're going to jiggle the door handle to try to what? Get in the house of somebody? This is your first date? Who goes on a first date? Tries to open up the door yourself. No trip to the grocery store. No trip to the florist to get some flowers. Are you just going to open the door on your first date? You testified that this whole car trip over there, she ain't answering. You ain't talked to her. You knew she was upset. She had to be upset. You haven't talked to her in all this time. And you just think what? You just think what? That once she sees you, she's going to succumb to your beauty? My gosh, I understand how the tone of my voice is coming out. I'm sorry about that. But really? That's how you know this was a hookup. This was not a date. Okay? I object. This witness is lying. He might be only lying about this one thing, but he is lying. He is uncredible. Throw him out. Okay. Next. The actor said he thought he saw red wine spilled on the carpet. He didn't think much of it because he went to the housewarming party a week before, and thought somebody had spilled a drink on the floor. Okay. So he had only been to this house one other time. To the housewarming party. And try to jiggle the handle, try to get in himself. You've only been to this house one other time. You're trying to get in again? You're trying to just walk in the door? Jiggling the handle. Are you kidding me? So the red stain on the carpet was was actually Ashley's blood. They did confirm that. And I guess when you spill wine, red wine, I guess it could be dark stain. You know, like, I don't know what blood on the carpet looks like, but it's pretty significant that you see that. And I don't know. It's not like he could have done anything at this point because she allegedly was going to be, you know, she probably passed away. So eventually he left, got in his car and went home. He testified he thought he messed up and that Ashley was mad at him. He said he does not recall seeing anyone at the house or anything odd when he was there. He told the jury he freaked out when he heard about the murder and told the police about his fingerprints on the door. He wanted to make sure he was not a suspect. So, it's silly. The guy, Michael Gargiulo or whatever his freaking name is, I don't know. He's accused of murdering Ashley and two other women. The prosecutor contends that he killed Ashley by stabbing her 47 times while she was getting ready to go out with Ashton Kutcher. I just got goosebumps. How devastating is that to know that your friend, while they were getting ready to see you, got stabbed 47 times? And that you were right there. Not that you could have done anything, because I don't know if he would have been able to save her. 47 times is quite a bit, but people can survive crazy things for a while. The guy is facing the death penalty if he's convicted of all the charges. The trial began in the first week of May and is expected to last 6 months. And the prosecution is expected to call 250 witnesses to the stand. This is the craziest, saddest, tragic, and yet compelling story I have read in a while. It is horrible. And if it didn't already include Hollywood, you would have thought it was a Hollywood story. So, anyway, I just thought that was so interesting. There are so many facts about this that, in my opinion, put Ashton in a bad light. I mean, I have, you know, I'm not saying anything about him. I just think that there are things you don't do. I mean, he was younger back then. I mean, you could say that about any mistake anybody makes, but it seems so weird that you would get all these hints like, oh, dang, if I call you twice and you ain't picking up, I'm probably just going to chill out until I hear from you. I'm not going to, whatever. I mean, guys are guys, I guess. It's weird stuff and like that, but it's, I don't know if I would have drove over there and try to get in somebody's house. I mean, what would you have done if it was open? Like, would you have walked in the house, made yourself at home, go to her bedroom? I mean, what do you think she would be like if you think she was like, oh, my phone wasn't plugged in, I didn't know. Like, what were you thinking was going to happen? And you went that far. Everything looks suspicious. I don't know. It's just a weird situation. Anyway, that went longer than I anticipated. Sorry about that. But I hope you enjoyed the show. We talked about jokes. We talked about fun stuff at one point in this show. How you can do it. And then really we talked about Ashton Kutcher for the most part of the show. And this interesting trial. It's pretty interesting. Anyway, thanks for listening. This has been Keeping It Raw and Keeping It Under 30. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Bye.